Here we go again. How are the dinosaurs? Were they? Love the dinosaurs. So, today, bookkeeping, housekeeping. Gilbert Welch, MD, will have a book signing. Less medicine, more health. That's in your packets already. That'll be at 1:30 at the University Bookstore. And tonight is the dinner here at 6:30 that you get tickets for at the desk back there. And that will feature some Shakespeare from elementary children. And it's good. They'll make you laugh and they will make you cry. And it will be unexpected what they can do. And then, again, tomorrow night, Hogwarts, 7 o'clock, my house. And that's for you and your families, local hospital employees and their families, and active military. And again, we've been doing this 15 years. We've met 65 actors. We've been together a long time. And they're talented and funny. And I would say you go to Wendy's in South Ogden, and you head toward the mountains, and every time you have a choice, you go higher. And you'll fall in line. Usually you fall in line with the cars. There are times when we have thousands of people. We hope to make it more civilized for you. So we'll be muting our cell phones, and you know, you get a good deal with this meeting. It's really cheap CME. You get really a lot for your money and your time, and that's because of donors and sponsors who are so generous to us. And these are the Ogden Clinic, Weber State University, UMA Financial Services, the National Kidney Foundation, Alan and Jean Hall Foundation, Elida and Thomas L. Hannum, MD, Chad Gonzalez, MD, Circle of Life Women's Center, Country Hills Eye Center, Davis Hospital and Medical Center, Douglas and Shelley Felt Family Foundation, Edith D. Green Foundation, EPIC, Emergency Physicians Integrated Care at Ogden Regional Medical Center, Frensius, I can't ever say that right, close, Gilbert E. Calluette, MD, Harlow B. Rigby Charitable Trust, Intermountain Medical Group, Weber North Davis, Intermountain Medical Group, Weber North Davis, Lawrence T. and Janet T. D. Foundation in memory of William Riley Brown, MD, McKay D. Hospital, McKay ENT, Schuler, MD, Mountain Medical, National Kidney Foundation of Utah and Idaho, Nebaker Family Foundation, Northern Utah Surgeons, that's Carabine, Mosinger, Hansier, and Varela, Ogden Clinic, Ogden Regional Medical Center, Ralph E. Friz, MD, Spencer S. and Hope Fox Eccles Family, Stephen G. and Susan E. Denkers Family Foundation, Stephen F. Johnson, MD, Joyce Johnson Stillwell, and Val B. Johnson, MD, in memory of Vernal H. Johnson, MD. Stewart Education Foundation, Tanner Clinic, UMA Financial Services, UMIA, Utah Emergency Physicians, and McKay-D Emergency Physicians, Utah Hematology Oncology PC, Utah Imaging, Utah Medical Association Foundation, Val A. Browning Foundation, Virgil J. Parker, MD, Weber County ENT Physicians, Alexander Ramirez, MD, Douglas K. Anderson, MD, Nadim Bikazi, MD, and Stuart Barlow, MD. Weber State University College of Science. Woods Richards and Associates PC, Certified Public Accountants. We extend our sympathy, the Ogden Surgical Medical Society extends our sympathy to the family and friends of our colleagues who've passed away this year. Their presence and contribution to medicine will be greatly missed. Charles Burwald, 78, passed away April 15th. Dr. Burwald was a captain in the Air Force and assigned to Kadena Air Force Base, Oklahoma. Before his military service, he completed a one-year internship at St. Mary's Hospital in Duluth, Minnesota. He practiced family medicine in Rochester, Minnesota for 6 years, and then in Layton, Utah for 39 years. He is survived by his wife, Carol, of 52 years, three children, and three grandchildren. Morgan Reed Merrill, 93, passed away May 10, 2015. Dr. Merrill was a World War II veteran. He served in the Army, where he was a chemical warfare specialist connected with B-24 air operations. He graduated from the University of Utah Medical School, completed an internship at Percy Jones Hospital in Battle Creek, Michigan, and moved to Brigham City, where he practiced medicine for 45 years. He made regular house calls, Sunday office hours, before his family's Sunday dinner, and was a pioneer in providing InstaCare service while saying, "You know, people don't just get sick on weekdays. Sometimes they need their doctor on weekends." He is survived by his wife, Glenna, of 67 years, five children, 14 grandchildren, 15 great-grandchildren. Edward Dwayne Morton, 91, passed away August 9, 2015. He was a World War II veteran and served in the United States Marine Corps. He was a graduate of the University of Texas Southwestern Medical School. Dr. Morton practiced in Texas and Utah for 40 years. In Utah, he served as St. Benedict's Hospital Chief of Staff, St. Benedict's Alcohol and Drug Treatment Center, Medical Director. Metamorphosis Drug Treatment Center, Medical Director, and was a staff member of both St. Benedict's and McKay-D Hospitals. Dr. Morton was active in the community, serving in many organizations, including Utah Academy of Family Practice President, 1 year, and editor of their bulletin for 7. He was in Kiwanis Rotary and was an Ogden Rescue Mission volunteer physician. He is survived by his wife of 59 years, Jean, and their two daughters. My old tennis buddy, Ralph Blaine Foley, 81, passed away February 1st, 2016. Dr. Foley served in the United States Army 98th General Hospital in Nuremberg, Germany for 3 years. He was a graduate of Ogden High and Northwestern University Medical School. He completed his general surgery residency at the Mayo Clinic, where he was selected to serve as chief surgical resident. Dr. Foley established his surgical practice in 1969 and served the Ogden community for 30 years. He especially loved his time with the UP Railroad Clinic patients. Dr. Foley is survived by his wife of 61 years, Joyce, their 8 children, 24 grandchildren, and 1 great-grandson. Jeffrey Deese, 29, passed away July 1, 2015. Jeffrey was a resident of Casper, Wyoming, and a physician assistant. He attended the Ogden Surgical Medical Society conference for decades. The Ogden Surgical Medical Society extends our sympathy to the Deese family. Jeffrey's presence and contribution to medicine will be greatly missed. I think we have another great day of education. Stories, and when Dr. Mosinger gets done eating, are we close to that time? Should we do something else? We'll let him finish eating, I guess. Okay, I'll tell you my story. It seems like there's, I'm not really sure how many years ago this happened. Okay, we'll start this way. I'll start like AA, I think. I made mistakes. I didn't run my office tight enough. I didn't know the law like I should have. I can tell you that there was no criminal intent, that the people who work for me are honest people, and they were honest then. They're still honest, but they, at my office for 25, 30 years, we bought many things from Henry Schein, the supply company that sends you the booklet. And whoever knows how many years ago it started, but in that booklet, there's a sheet there where you can check off and order controlled substances. You can order phentermine and Ativan, at least in those days. And if I showed you the sheet, you would say, this is, looks so innocuous. And I can tell you that I didn't sign any prescriptions. That I tell you, these guys had prescriptions, but I didn't sign any prescriptions. I didn't take any delivery of drugs. I didn't write any checks. They didn't have to lie to this company. And they received these drugs like just for their personal use. And I knew about a little bit of it. I should have been smart enough to stop it, but I thought if this company offers it to us, and this is so long ago, I know I just seem so stupid now, but this is so long ago that I just thought if they offer it to us, I guess it's okay. And and they were the ones who finally, I guess they did this to other people, and then they finally saw the end coming and they turned us into the DEA. I want to tell this right. So, by my lax running of my operation, I could have damaged somebody. They could have sold to somebody, but they didn't. They returned most of the drugs they got on their bargain purchases. But I could have harmed somebody. I wasn't responsible with my DEA license or knowing the law about this. So two agents came to my office, and I wasn't smart. I thought that we're honest people. They'll see we're honest people. And so I didn't call an attorney, and my wife said, put a sock in it, like I told you the other day, and call an attorney. And she was right, because I didn't defend my people from interviews by the DEA agents. I let them just interview them, and that was wrong. And anyway, we go to court eventually, and one of my primary hospitals. So this goes in the newspaper. When you get charged, then I guess the newspapers find out right away, or they serve you this thing, and they say, this isn't a big deal. You'll sign something, and you'll have a couple years of probation, and it'll be okay. And then the newspaper calls me, tells me they're printing it, and then the Tribune calls me and tells me they're printing it. And then one of my primary hospitals, where I had practiced for 33 years without a suit, no nurse in that hospital had ever been deposed for me. They took away my privileges for nearly 3 months. And Doppel put me on probation for 3 years. So, and I admire the people on the Doppel panel. They have a tough job. They are trying to save careers and save lives. Very difficult job. And I think, you know, my exposure with them is limited. I only know about what it's like when I go there. So I may not think everything they do is as it should be, but I admire them. I'm sorry they had to spend time on me. I'll tell you, one time I'm sitting there in the Doppel meeting. It's a long table, 12 people around the table. And the head is a psychiatrist on this particular day. I go there every 3 months. I've been off probation a month now at this time. But at this time, I'm in the first year of it, I think. And the psychiatrist at the head of the table, she looks at me and says, you should get psychotherapy. And she looks down, halfway down the table, and she looks at the other psychiatrist on that side. And he looks at me and said, yeah, you ought to get psychotherapy. And then he looks across the table at the other psychiatrist. And that guy looks at me and says, yeah, you ought to get psychotherapy. So, anybody got more than three in one day? I had to go to, so then I, at part of it, I had to go to a meeting in San Diego, 10 hours a day, 6 days a week, where I met Dr. Achar, our speaker. And they have many other good speakers. I mean, that would be just a great meeting for anybody to go to. If you want to be add safety to your patients and yourself, I mean, it's interesting to see who's there, who's forced to go there, but it would be a good meeting for anybody, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful to meet Dr. Achar. But another meeting I went to, on ethics in New Jersey, they showed us 2 hours of Nazi doctor atrocities. And I complained about this to the Doppel Committee when I got back. And you have to be careful. You know, you're at a position where they don't much care what you think. They come along. I don't know. As I look back on it, there's almost some. I'm not sure how. Anyway, I'll just tell you these are my processes with it. I wouldn't know how to advise somebody to go through this. I could only tell them my story and make it. Maybe it makes their life through this easier. But I'll say again, I think these are good people on this panel who are trying to do the best they can for the people of Utah and the physicians they run into. Dr. Mosinger, past president of this organization, will now be the moderator for the morning. Any questions for my events? Yeah.
When you go to a licensing committee and they do something like that with psychiatrists, you're doing it on purpose like a psychiatric treadmill on you. They want to see how you respond. They're not trying to be mean. They want a quick look at how you respond.
I think he's right. Did the people in the back hear his statement? He said it was an event, the psychiatrist, to see how I'd respond. Just to see that I could be civilized about it, to see that I could deal with it. I tell you, at Doppel, there's an amusing thing for me. First of all, you have to remember, my dad was a Marine, and so language around our house was sometimes harsh. And when you go to Doppel and you're sitting at least outside one of the interview rooms, there's a man sitting on a horse there. And it was just something my dad used to say to me. Now we'll have Dr. Mosinger.